Hey everyone, Patrick Connor here. Welcome back to Knuckles and Gloves Boxing Radio. And you're with my buddy Bryn Jonathan Butler, of course, writer, author, trainer, filmmaker to the stars and whatnot. How you doing, man?
I'm just cat owner to Raul.
That'll do for now. That'll do for now. You know, we're here though. I mean, it's kind of, I guess, an odd day and time or whatever for whenever we do publish this podcast, but we're here because earlier today, a couple hours ago, they just announced that Mike Tyson's going to be fighting Roy Jones Jr. I mean, we're in 2020, just making sure this is not some old episode, time warp, anything like that. 2020, some day in July, because nobody knows what day it is anymore. But regardless, it's apparently happening, and you have some proof, Bryn.
I saw Kevin Ioli's announcement today. He's the first person to sort of publish it at an official place at Yahoo. And I texted Roy as soon as I read it and just said, is this true? Are you really getting ready to fight Tyson? And all I got was, like, it's true. It's happening. And nothing else. It was very cryptic. And so I tweeted that out just to say, you know, I've communicated with Roy for a while. It is him. This isn't that Ioli got fed some kind of belated April Fool's Day prank. Like, this is actually happening. And subsequently, only an hour or two later, there was like almost a promotional video for the fight of Roy and Mike via Zoom signing a contract. Mike smoking a joint as he's signing it. But I mean, the idea that in Carson, California, a 54-year-old Tyson is going head-to-head with a 51-year-old Roy Jones Jr. Tyson hasn't fought in 15 years since he lost to Danny McBride. Jones has not been Roy Jones as we knew him for at least 15 years. This is very strange. It's going to be an exhibition fight, 8 rounds. I heard 12-ounce gloves. Now I'm hearing 10-ounce gloves. But I don't know what this is. And I mean, Patrick, right after I got this news, Andre Ward called me up and was like, is this really happening? Is Roy really doing this? And I was like, as far as I know, like, he's saying it, it's happening. This was before the little video showing them signing it. And he just said, I can understand if this is in Dubai and there's millions of dollars, but I mean, Carson, California, what is this? Like, what are they doing? So, I mean, what do you make of this?
I mean, it's obviously, I'd be lying if I was like, yeah, this is what everybody expected. I would fucking called this shit a month ago. Like, homeboy, what's his name? Ryan O'Hara. Sorry, I don't normally name names, dude, but that shit was some pretty laughable shit earlier. Sorry, Ryan, if you listen. You probably don't listen, so well, who cares? But anyway, nobody could have called this shit, dude. I mean, even in 2020 is just the most surprising year. Every subsequent announcement is, like, more insane. You know, like, what's that, dude? You got a fucking flesh-eating bacteria? I see your flesh-eating bacteria, and I will raise you deadly fucking flu-like fucking coronavirus. What's that? You got deadly flu-like coronavirus? I will raise you federal troops marching into your city, you know, possibly killing people at some point. What's that? You know, every subsequent announcement is like, what? I mean, I'm kind of having a difficult time being, like, caught that off guard these days, because I'm just kind of, I feel like I'm ready for fucking anything, but I'd be lying if I said I called this, because if I were to make a list of, like, the fights that I thought would happen, and also a list of the fights that I wanted to see in 2020, this would not be in the top, like, 150 at all. Even back in the day, it probably would not have been real high on my list, just because I'm not, and the funny thing is too, this is almost like a confluence, it's like a convergence of, like, several of your interests and the things that you've been involved in. Like, you got Mike Tyson, and you got, like, fucking, you get Roy, and then you got Andre Ward getting in on it, because he's, you know, looks up to Roy and sees him as a role model. I mean, come on, it's crazy, but No, you know, it's just, it's definitely strange that it's happening, for sure. But I think for the most part, the instinct for a lot of people is going to be that they're incredulous and they don't understand why it's happening and it's stupid and awful and dangerous. And like, I'm not going to argue against any of those things because I think that for the most part, that's true. Like, it's kind of stupid. It's kind of awful. It's kind of dangerous. Oh, I'm talking about boxing. I'm not even talking about Tyson Jones. No, that was just a joke. But seriously, like, it's, but honestly, like, I'm being serious here, dude. It's, I don't know exactly what anybody expects. I'm not going to, by boycotting this or something like that imaginarily, I'm not going to make one heap of difference. Even if all of my friends do it too, the interest in this is so high and will be so high that that's a drop in the fucking bucket. I could make all of the noise I want about how dangerous this is. It's not going to do a damn thing. So really, I'm kind of just at the point where I just shrug my shoulders and go, okay, well, I hope nobody gets hurt, and I hope they get paid a shitload. Because usually when people are getting really upset about this kind of thing, I see it from the angle of, like, where you could get upset, like, you know, this is taking up a date that somebody else could have been using or something like that. Or there's one or both of the participants should be fighting somebody else, or there's some other fight that should be happening. That's not the case here. Maybe you could say, well, there's going to be so much attention paid to this, and they're going to fuck it up by not giving it a good undercard, or they're not going to do this, or it's not going to serve boxing in some way. Well, okay, I mean, so what? Like, that's the norm now, so you can't really heap on specifically this fight for that. You know, if people have interest, they have interest, period. That's on the people, not the fucking fight. It's like I've said this before, but it's like those supermarket rags, dude. You know, do they suck? Is it stupid that they're actually a thing? Yeah, of course. What's even more stupid is that people fucking buy them, dude. That's the problem. You know, that they exist is shitty, yes. But people buy them. They're popular. People eat that shit up. The reason why they eat that shit up is the problem, you know, not the fact that they exist. So I see kind of like a similar thing here with a lot of these circus-like atmosphere fights. I don't like them. I don't call for them. I don't want them, per se. But I mean, I don't care enough to get up in arms about them. And I guess on some level, too, they still are going to be facing danger. And why does that not get some sort of respect from the crowd that's like, you better give these fucking fighters respect because they're fighters and they fight. Well, they're taking a risk and they're over 50 years old. Like, they could die taking a fucking punch from on headgear, you know? So anyway, obviously, well, that was a widely nuanced answer to what you're saying, a very rambling response. But I don't think that it's that simple. I don't think that it's as simple as this is bad. Fuck it. So that's all, you know, it's weird, but there's kind of wiggle room here.
Well, and they're not wearing headgear for the fight also. And, you know, like Instagram, I don't have Instagram. I looked at it because Andre was telling me, go to Instagram to see this video. So I looked it up. And the first thing under Roy's name on Instagram is his Cameo. And if you don't, listeners don't know what we're referring to, Cameo is where you can have a chat or request a celebrity or a former celebrity or just a person of notoriety or whatever, you know, you can request them to say something, wish happy birthday to your daughter, or say fuck you to your childhood bully, whatever. Roy currently, you can chat to Roy on Cameo for $4.99. Or you can request him for $199. So perhaps Tyson went to Cameo and said, Roy, you know, 8 rounds, 10 rounds. you know, I'm willing to pay $199 to have you up there. No, it's the thing that, like, the first thing Ward thought and the first thing I think is Tyson is making money. He's still out in the culture. He has his weed farm. He's made some money from the documentary he did, the one-man show. He's done a bunch of stuff. He's still out there peddling himself. Roy has never been very successful at peddling himself outside of the money he's earned in boxing. And none of us are too sure about how much of that money he's kept. So with him being cut off from HBO as an announcer, which was probably the biggest revenue stream he had outside of fighting, I don't know how well he's done. And the weird thing here, Patrick, for me is 5 years ago when I did a profile on Roy, spent a week with him, he talked about Tyson. He specifically said if he had been able to fight Tyson after he beat John Ruiz, which, by the way, is 2003, he would have done enough in his mind to have retired. He thought he deserved at least $50 million for that fight. It didn't happen, obviously, but he said, I would have gone in there because look at what James Toney did to Evander Holyfield. Look what Holyfield did do to Tyson, and look what I did to Toney. I would have come right at him, and I would have knocked him out. Now, yeah. we're 17 years after that, and 5 years after I was talking to Roy, and Roy, almost immediately after I interview him, was knocked out cold by somebody that you've heard of, but it's not, you know, a Hall of Fame fighter, or, you know, over in Italy. I mean, I think it was an Italian fighter who knocked him out. Enzo, I can never pronounce the last name.
Yeah, Macronelli, yeah.
Macronelli, which is embarrassing. My girlfriend's half Italian. I should be able to pronounce Italian.
You gotta put some song to it to help you remember. Macronelli, you know.
Macronelli.
Yeah, there you go. Now you got it.
We're already referring to the bathroom as the pishadu after a marathon session of The Sopranos. But what is Roy and Tyson, these fucking promotional videos of him edited, like ferociously fast-paced edited, so he has the sizzle reel of throwing three or four punches, and then the next it's four punches, then he takes a step, it's two punches, and even Ward was saying, he looks pretty damn good. He looks good, man.
I'm going to need that editor for me. I don't know who that editor is, but I need that editor for me. In case I'm ever single and I need to get on some dating profile, I need an editor for me. Jeez. Yeah, the quick cuts, man, that zap, you know, pop, 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 zap, pop, 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 pop. You know, it was like, yeah, come on, dude. I'm a fat, uncultured swine, but come on, dude. I can see. Come on.
Well, and let's just remember that Tyson coming out of jail in 1995 was not more than a three-round fighter. He had serious stamina issues. He's had breathing issues his whole career, had asthma. He's a pretty, you know, I think he's been a semi-regular cigarette smoker since prison. He definitely is one of the biggest potheads. Now you can talk about it. I didn't talk about it when I met him so much, but like everybody around Tyson knew that he's been a raging pothead, even while he was fighting. Roach said he was constantly high, constantly smoking. But you're signing a contract while you're smoking weed. 15 years ago, Danny McBride, who was not a top 500 fighter, just beat the fucking shit out of you after Danny McBride – or Danny – what's his last name? Danny
– Oh, Danny Williams and Kevin McBride.
Kevin McBride and Danny Williams, right. Both of these guys – badly, badly beat Tyson. Tyson left the sport explicitly saying, I'm degrading the sport to lose to this caliber of fighter. Now, 15 years later, he's gotten shape. I seriously doubt there's going to be drug testing for this fight because recapturing the body he has now from what he's looked like in the past is highly suspicious. I doubt California's athletic commission is going after an exhibition fight for drug testing.
Right.
Jones himself has popped, you know, for PEDs. He claimed it was rip fuel, but who knows?
Yep, against Richard Hall.
Right. So what is this? It just seems like it's as embarrassing as that movie that came out with Stallone and Robert De Niro. It's just like two geriatric guys coming together. I don't know what it proves. And I agree with you. If they're competitive, if this isn't a silly farce, this is very, very dangerous. Jones cannot take a solid heavyweight shot. And from what I saw up close with him, he has serious knee problems, serious injuries. Tyson has had his neck operated on. He's had his knees operated on. These guys
spinal.
These guys are really damaged. And if you can't get out of the way, in my view, if Tyson is throwing some serious shots at Roy, thinking Roy doesn't have the best chin, this is really dangerous.
Well, I can definitely I've mentioned this before. I don't think I've ever mentioned it on the show, but I won't name whose house I was at just because I don't know if that person would necessarily want that out there, because it's not a famous person at all. But I was at a friend slash kind of colleague his house, and this would have been in, I want to say 2004. And anyway, long story short, I was at this friend's house, and at the time I was just starting to get into UFC. I had been into other MMA organizations, but hadn't really been much into UFC apart from like the early years when it was like, you know, fairly no holds barred. And one of my friends whose house I was at, one of his acquaintances slash friends walked in, was wearing a suit, didn't really think much of it. And I kind of like, you know, I introduced myself and didn't recognize the person. And the dude sat next to me because my friend had two computers because he ran a website. And I was smoking a joint with this person and came to realize, like, after we were done, that this was actually Michael Buffer's brother, Bruce Buffer. Like, I didn't know him. I would have known Michael Buffer, of course, but I didn't know Bruce because Bruce was the voice of the UFC, and I didn't know much about the UFC at this time. Like, it was, like, right when I was starting to get into UFC. Anyway, so that shit was hilarious, but the reason why I bring that up was because that same person's house, in walked Mike Tyson one day, and it became clear, obviously, that this was, like, a normal thing. yeah, so, no, it's been known for a long time that Mike has, you know, partaken, and he, according to my friend, what's that?
I don't want to interrupt, but I mean, let's just be honest, it's Dan Rayfield. We've suspected about you and Rayfield for a long time. No, I'm kidding. Go on, please.
No, although one time I was covering a fight and I walked out of the media area that was like, you know, the locked doors that you can't get back into. And when I walked out, some dude was like, "Hey, it's Dan Rayfield," like super serious. He was 100% serious. And I was like, "Whoa, dude, really? Really?" And he was like, "Oh, shit, you're not." And I was like, "Yeah, dude, no, not at all. Come on." But anyway, no, I was not. It was not Dan Rayfield. But no, it was definitely a fucking trip, needless to say. But according to my friend, and it was not refuted by Mike, Mike was one of the first people in California to get his medical license. That's what was told to me and was not refuted by him. Anyway, it's been known for a while that he's... and on top of that, I think it was, 2000 against Galata, I believe, where he popped positive for marijuana anyway. So, you know, it's not like it was a big mystery, but... a chance for me to kind of like try to throw my name out there and get some street cred. Anyway, yeah, dude, there's not going to be any drug testing, and if there is, you know, what is going to be overseeing an exhibition to stop it? Or I mean, I don't know. It to me, this seems like a somewhat gray area in terms of legality and, you know, who's overseeing it and what can be done and what can't be done. So yeah, there are a number of reasons why I think that there are questions about this. There are potential problems with this, especially when you kind of draw, you know, take a step back, and this is ostensibly anyway, part of some, what was it? The League of Legends, some, you know, fucking bros versus Joes versus pros, fucking whatever type of thing, where these, athletes of yesteryear are able to, I guess, get in and participate. It's not clear. I don't really understand what's going to happen, but apparently athletes of yesteryear are going to get in and like relive their glory days, whatever that fucking means. In this case, I guess it means potentially dying. So those are glory days in boxing. But in any event, like there is a problem with anything involving contact sports or high speed sports, NASCAR or whatever, you know, there's obviously the potential danger there that you are re-entering into the life of a senior citizen or somebody who can fucking get a Denny's discount. So I can definitely see potential problems. The other flip side of it, and also, I guess, you know, try to reach and claw for some street cred and name drop here. Last year, Steve Forbes, who I've worked with at 2 Pound Sports in Portland, some of their local cards, and did some commentating for. That was, I'm not going to say like it was his idea, like in his idea alone, but it is something that he has definitely talked about also openly on social media about matching, you know, former champions in exhibitions. And he did exactly that against Chop Chop Corley. And, you know, I got to call that fight, even though it was certainly more sparring than a fight. And that's kind of what I'm wondering here. So that's what my flip side of this is that my question is if this is kind of like more than sparring, if it's not full contact, if this is just some kind of like, you know, they're going to get in there and I guess there will be some punches, but they're not going to be like legit punches. Is that something you could get behind? Is that something that then, okay, well, I guess it doesn't seem so bad. Or are you still just like, nah, man, it's the risk is too much. What's your position on that?
I just think this is not, you know, Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa having a home run derby or Jordan and Bird or Jordan and Magic playing basketball. It's they're hitting each other in the head. And Jones in particular, you know, what scared me about the trailer, and I really tried to impart this when I wrote about him, is he defended staying in the ring 5 years ago by saying, God would send me a message that would be when I get my head checked, when I get a CAT scan, and there's a clear sign of blood clot or some medical reason for me to stop. That is God saying, you need to stop, Roy. And until then, God is greenlighting and underwriting him going forward, despite his wife and all his kids saying, we do not want to see you get hurt. We do not want this to happen. Roy wouldn't listen to anybody. And he is talking up. I'm going in there alone. I'm David versus Goliath, but I have God with me. God is with me. God is with me. And he has that same arrogant look in his eye about, you know, I asked them specifically, has God ever said no to you about anything that you wanted to do? And he said, huh, as if he had never thought of it and said, no, he hasn't. He's never said no to me. When I asked the question to Andre Ward, Ward explicitly said, yes, God has said no to me on many occasions with something that I yearn to do. So I'm just really worried about Roy getting hit cleanly. You know, almost every time he was hit cleanly, it didn't happen much. He got pretty shook. He, you know, and the last thing fighters lose, everybody, this is the cliche, is their power. And Tyson on hand pads is looking impressive. Even though it's highly edited, he's still got hand speed. He's still got power. He's definitely in the best shape he's been in since he retired. And you'd say, you know, a lot of people would say, well, that makes no difference if Tyson was fighting a legitimate elite because he can't really move around. He has no stamina. But I've seen Roy move around. I've seen Roy walk around. I've walked with him a lot. And his knees are completely shot.
Yeah. Well,
take it out of the way.
And you kind of hinted at it earlier, and I was going to say elaborate on that, because some people might not be picking up on that promo that he's clearly has mobility. Dude, I got mobility issues, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody does. But, like, for real, like, he probably can't run. Like, it is not physically capable of running.
He can't run. I watched him play basketball, and he can sort of limp up and down the court. But, like, I opened the piece that I wrote about Roy because he showed up 2 hours late to his house. I'm hanging out with his two kids, his daughter and his son. I loved his family, loved his wife. They're really nice people. And the first thing I asked the kids trying to break the ice on his property in Pensacola was, where does Roy run around here? And his son, who was like 8, I think, a complete mini-me of Roy, was like, run? I was like, where does he do road work? Where does he do it? And they're like, have you seen my dad? Like, have you seen his knees? He hasn't done road work in years, like since I was born, kind of thing. Well, that's 2015, and that kid was 8. And Roy made a big point of showing me why his knees are so shot, because his dad would force him to run 10, 12 miles a day on cement. And Patrick, you're talking about, like, as we get older, I'm 41. I think you're 40. I can't run on cement anymore. Like, I need to run on a soft track or on grass. Like, I feel the difference. And I've run a million miles in my life. I've run marathons and stuff. I can't do it anymore. My body just won't deal with it. And I've never put in the miles that Roy or Tyson have, you know, back when boxing was so crude in their practices in terms of just, you know, running on cement. The diet wasn't anything. It was anti-doing weights until, like, Holyfield was doing it. I mean, imagine these things that are just scientifically completely nonsensical to not incorporate weight training, you know, resistance training and stuff for all of the benefits that we know they have. The dietary stuff didn't seem to have advanced since Rocky is slamming down, like, eggs, like cracked eggs and stuff like that. Boxing has lagged behind the other sports in terms of nutrition and training methodology and stuff like that. And so both of these guys are pretty old school. That being said, like, Roy had an oxygen chamber, like Michael Jackson style, in one of his houses. And I was sort of like, huh, for a guy who's been lecturing me about how meat and potatoes he is, you had this for a while. It doesn't look like a new model. So I just really worry about the two of them. If they can't get out of the way of their punches, to me it just seems intuitive that Roy is at an unbelievable disadvantage. If you can't get away from Tyson, and, you know, the hardest thing to do with bad knees is probably to pivot, to really move laterally. You know, I don't like the thought of Tyson coming forward, which is going to be the easiest thing for him to do or for anybody to do. And being able to just throw one shot that lands clean, I think Roy is out the first clean shot that lands. And this isn't young Roy that can dance, that, you know, is able to move his head effectively, lean back, the kind of timing and counterpunching. What is he going to do to keep Tyson off of him? Because you watch him punch now as an older man, his legs just are not there. He naturally is one of these guys like Holyfield with really small legs, like, dramatically underdeveloped relative to his upper body. And you can't get away from what Tyson's throwing. I don't really care who you are. I think anybody gets knocked out. You can still see the way he's hitting bags and stuff. If you're standing right in front of Tyson or you're backing up, this could go 15 seconds.
Right. And that's, like, I guess you can also ask, like, you know, who's more likely to take the other's best shot? Assuming they're unable to, you know, assuming they haven't lost a whole lot of power, assuming they're able to land their Sunday punch on the other, you know, who's more likely to take the other's punch? And I think that it's a fairly straightforward answer. I guess there's some sort of argument you could make. Well, Roy's faster, so if he were able to surprise Tyson, I guess, you know, I mean, fine. I guess I'd devil's advocate that shit for you. But at the same time, it's no, I agree. Even back in, I want to say it was either 2001 or 2002, Fox Sports came out with that series that was, I think it was Beyond the Glory, Behind the Glory, Beyond the Glory, something like that. And they did a handful of athletes, and Roy Jones was one of them. And it was on that series that I think a lot of people learned about Roy's issue with his dad, the dog, you know, his dad killing the dog, etc. And if anybody's thinking that, going, what, his dad killed the dog? As the story goes, according to both his dad and Roy, one of Roy's dogs and one of, I guess, his favorite dogs or something like that had bitten his younger sister, or was it his daughter?
Yep.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
Sister.
And I don't know the circumstances, obviously, but it had bitten his younger sister. And his dad was like, fuck that, you know, can't have a dog biting people, and put the dog down himself. I think to a lot of city people, I'm not condoning ever killing an animal. You know, a lot of people also know that I was a veterinary technician for like 10 years. But point is, also in being a veterinary technician, I learned that the way that people view animals and treat animals is different, especially not just in terms of socioeconomic status, but in terms of rural versus urban, suburban, etc. You know, these are different things to people, not to excuse it again, but You know, I had heard a number of different times as a veterinary technician, people telling me things like, well, a bullet would be cheaper than me bringing this dog to you for euthanasia. You know, that's awful, obviously, but it's something I heard on more than one occasion. And that's exactly why this happened. Roy's dad, Pensacola, dude, this shit is country, you know, country as fuck. And that's what Roy's dad did, was put this dog down. He didn't trust it, thought it was dangerous. Roy held a grudge against his dad for this for years. And, you know, I guess I think very rarely talked to his dad, and I think doesn't really talk to his dad a whole lot, period. And you could obviously elaborate on that, but this series, this Behind the Glory, Beyond the Glory, whatever, one of the things also that they had talked about on this series, and it's probably forgotten about by now, but I specifically remember, might even be able to find it on YouTube or some shit. Roy's dad is talking about a couple of the potential fights that they had on the table at heavyweight in the late 90s. One of them was fucking Buster Douglas, dude. Like, and even at this point, Buster Douglas was like outskis, man. This guy was not, he was barely a serious fighter. Buster Douglas basically made the career of Lou Savarese, sadly, you know, but he was just not really, you know, he was a shell of himself. And even then, Big Roy was like, I think his quote was, it would be like running a Corvette into a Mack truck, and I can't have that. Basically implying that he thought his son was far too small for any competent sized heavyweight that could punch or, you know, something like that. And that's why he didn't think the matchup would be a good idea, and that he didn't think Roy Jr. moving up to heavyweight would be a good idea. And this is back in whatever it was, 2001, 2002, a couple of years before Roy, you know, moved up to heavyweight and won the WBA title. But then he also subsequently got totally smashed to smithereens by Tarver and Johnson. So it's the idea has been out there for a long time. And I guess to point more to your point earlier, even from then, we're 18, 19 years on, and his dad thought it was a terrible idea then. I guess his dad could have been wrong, I suppose, but I just don't see how you go 15 whatever years onward and say, oh, well, it's probably safer now than it was then.
No, I mean, a few points there. I specifically asked Roy about this. You're absolutely right about the incident you talk about. What you left out that Roy elucidated for me, I put it in the piece. The piece is called The Long Goodbye of Roy Jones Jr. And he said he went back to his dad's place with a loaded gun in his lap and was ready to murder his dad and kill himself after he did it because he just didn't want to go to prison. And he said this was a regular thing that he did after his dad killed that dog, because in his mind, the interpretation was, you violated a man to kill his animal like that without any discussion or anything like that. Roy is this is again kind of paradoxical, but Roy is obsessed with animals, and yet he also is obsessed with a tradition down there, which is cockfighting. Everywhere in his house are mementos and posters and like elaborate tapestries of fighting cocks. He really does love that sport passionately. I think he was like had won prizes for grooming fighting cocks. He very much saw himself kind of as a human fighting cock. You referenced that when he did that move, that chicken move versus Tony, where they're sort of ducking down, that it was just like a fighting chicken. But in his world that he grew up in, this is what he told me, it really was kind of do or die everywhere. He saw every day as sort of potentially murdering his dad or killing himself. It was really shocking, him putting this kind of stuff out there, how extreme it was. He definitely dangled that dying in the ring would not be a terrible way for him to go out. And another point, which I think is important to mention, is that after Roy, undefeated, beats John Ruiz in a decisive decision, he was 3-1 as a favorite to fight Mike Tyson at that time. That's where Jones was at that point. And we can't forget that when we have all these subsequent losses that happen when he goes back down and fights Tarver and Johnson and starts looking like a very different Roy. Slow down. Anything that really lands that's a hard shot, he's gone. So that guy hung around for a long time after 2003. He was still fighting 2016, 17, I think. So I think where Roy drove me to meet his dad, who he hadn't really had a conversation with in 10 years. They didn't have a conversation when he brought me to meet him. There was no eye contact. It was just, this guy's here to talk to you. And then he got in his car and left. And I didn't have a car while I was in Pensacola, so I didn't have the ability to get back to where I was staying. So the only words he exchanged with his dad was, can you get this guy back to his motel? And Big Roy was like, yeah, I'll do it. And that's it. Roy just left. And Roy's dad had a Bentley. He was driving to pick up his youngest son, who was 7, 8 years old or something. I think Big Roy must have been around 70. And, you know, we're driving in a really beat up Bentley. He had another car that was a very expensive luxury car, but it was also like rusty and kind of beaten up. Roy's dad probably had 2 teeth in his mouth. So there was, you know, it was just a really weird contrast of a guy who's driving these extraordinarily luxurious vehicles while living kind of in a hovel with no teeth. And, you know, the relationship between the two of them, I've never seen a father-son like it. His dad was a Vietnam vet, and in Roy's mind, the calculus in boxing for him was, my dad was always saying that I wasn't man enough, and he went to Vietnam, I didn't go to war, so I think by getting killed in the ring, I could show him I'm more manly than him. And it's a really dark place to go, but watching that video of Roy with this look of confidence, and I don't know how manufactured it is or diluted it is. I don't know what he's trying to reclaim here. And he makes a statement in the video saying, people won't let me stay retired. I don't really know who he's thinking is begging him to come out of whatever he's doing or fucking being available on Cameo for $4.99 to have a chat. Who's really clamoring to have Roy Jones Jr. at 51 years old fight in a seniors tour of boxing? Like, I don't know. I just, I'm really uncomfortable with this idea. And the fact that they're coupling it with an undercard of like Logan Paul's little brother fighting a dunk champion or something from the NBA, it's just kind of like, this is fun and games, but if somebody gets really hurt from one of these things, we'll look back on it and just be like, how recklessly irresponsible was this? I think.
I guess a kind of minimum that I would like, which I know is not, you know, it's not possible. It's not going to happen. But a minimum that I would appreciate, you know, I would appreciate the honesty. And I guess at the very least, it seems thus far, and we're like a few hours into this, so there's a lot of time left between here and September. That's another issue that I want to bring up, is the date of
definitely
this. But regardless, there's a lot of time between now and September when this is supposed to happen. No, I gotta jump on it, dude. Canelo and Golden Boy, I don't know what they're doing. I've seen a handful of comments like on Twitter today about people believing that Canelo is being mismanaged or they're fucking up his career. I don't necessarily think they're fucking up his career. I mean, the guy's made an absolute shitload of money, and he's a terrific fighter and, you know, a tremendous middleweight. But, I just don't know how they could, again, let somebody ease up onto what is pretty much perceived as their date. I'm kind of surprised, I guess. But, yeah, I guess if they're going to go full on circus, they might as well really go for it with this YouTube shit. I don't really under, no, that's not true. I do understand it. They're appealing to a specific kind of like early 20s, late teens kind of like demographic that really follows a lot of YouTubers. And I mean, I do understand it. I think it's stupid, and I think that that's kind of like where I'm almost getting to the age, almost 40, by the way, almost getting to the age where I start like not understanding things, but not there yet. I understand it. I think it's dumb to just kind of like follow these things where people just look into a fucking camera and talk, you know, quote unquote, to you for hours at a time and then like subscribe to them. I get it. I just think it's stupid. But then the fact that it's that popular that they could literally insert this into some fucking show like this is just, it's almost mind blowing. But that's the thing, is that what I would appreciate in terms of the honesty is that I don't want to hear anything about this in terms of its relationship to the state of boxing now, because it almost like has like nothing to do with it at all, in the sense that it's not bettering the sport. It's not shedding a good light on it. It's not helping any other fighters that I can see. It's not putting a tremendous fighter who needs the exposure on the undercard or something like that. It's the most I could see is kind of like what I was talking about earlier, where I guess it's giving hope to some of these fighters who, some of them do need money. Maybe it's a way to, give these fighters some money or some shit, and that would be great. I personally think that it might be a little bit more productive, and it might be a better idea perhaps for Mike Tyson to take that money and invest into a fund, you know, for retired fighters, or invest into, I mean, I'm just winging this here, but invest into perhaps an effort to make a pension fund for a national pension fund for American fighters or something. And not trying to be fucking patriotic or jingoistic or anything here, but I mean, start where you are, start fucking locally, think locally, act global, whatever, you know? So I just don't really see, this is a money grab. It's not some sort of altruistic anything is what I'm saying. And so I'm sure at some point that's going to enter in the fray and the promotion. And it's just not true. It's not factual. It's not reality. So that's all. Is I just want to make sure people, you know, rightly understand that this is a fucking money grab and it's not anything else. It's not some prelude to something else. And if it is, then holy fuck.
Well, and I think, you know, Tyson, there's a famous quote of his where he said, "I could sell out Madison Square Garden masturbating." Tyson at 54 years old fighting Roy Jones Jr. in Carson, California.
It's not too far off. Yeah. It's not too far off. Not real far off.
You know, and like, where are we going? Like, is this more or less ridiculous than Mitt Romney fighting fucking Evander Holyfield in an exhibition?
Yeah, it's. Is it different than celebrity boxing? Remember that from like whatever it was, 2001, 2002? Yeah. Fucking Todd Bridges. The shit was. Is it any different from that? I mean, in a way, it is, because they're actual fighters, so they're not just random people. But in a way, that actually makes it worse, because they've already taken a shitload of damage, and they could ostensibly hurt the other. So, I mean, it's. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to harp too much about on the danger of it, because I think on some level that's something that, you know, it's something we accept as fans. It's something that fighters do accept. Doesn't make it okay or right or ethical or whatever, because that's kind of the ageless debate when it comes to boxing and fighting and combat sports. But the point is, you know, that danger is there regardless. But it's not unfair to ask why. You know, it's not unfair to ask why this is happening. It's not unfair to ask some critical questions. And on top of that, another thing that neither of us has said that I think bears, you know, shedding some fucking light on is that you will see comments in the lead up to this fight, exhibition, whatever. People are going to be saying things like, well, if you're not looking forward to this, then you're not a real fan. If you're not looking to buy this, if you're not, you know, chomping at the bit, if you're not rubbing your genitalia thinking about this fight, then you're not a real fan. And needless to say, that's like absolute fucking nonsense. There is not any sort of nebulous, like bare minimum to be a fight fan. You know, and especially when it's coming from a place of like actual concern and not just being a hating shithead or something like that. And you're saying, well, I just like, I would like it to be as safe as it possibly could be, knowing that boxing is not safe. But is there some way we could, like, mitigate the fucking death? Then that would be great. You know, that's all I'm saying is that, you know, it'd be cool to come from that position and, you know, not have to hear the constant, you know, I guess, assessment of fandom from other fans as far as whether or not you're fan enough or something like that. And it's okay to enjoy the violence and to enjoy it for what it is and enjoy the art of it. But it's something else to enjoy it with blinders on and not at the same time recognizing where that comes from and what price is being paid. That's all. And that's a point that we make constantly, but again, like I said before, a point that bears repeating.
Yeah, I mean, okay, let's look at a hypothetical where we can feel better about it. So it's not, let's go down the rabbit hole of feeling really sad about this. But like, because
right.
This is kind of like the proposition. Yeah, like what do we have? This is kind of like, you know, if you're friends with a guy and you've argued about whether your dad could beat the shit out of his dad, if it came to it. but fundamentally, like, you don't want to see your friend's dad punched in the face, and you don't want to see your own dad punched. Maybe you do, but I mean, you feel bad about it. So let's look at this. It's 2003. Roy Jones is undefeated. He has looked amazing, blowing up to 200 pounds and beating John Ruiz, who, granted, is not in the Hall of Fame, is never going to be in the Hall of Fame. But, I mean, it was an amazing achievement to see somebody so much bigger than Roy and what Roy was able to do. Roy has tremendous victories over Bernard Hopkins, James Toney, you know, just at his best. There was no conversation about whether Roy or Floyd Mayweather, who was the best. Floyd was never considered being the best when they were both at their respective primes. It was so demonstrably clear there was distance between Roy and Floyd, which, taking nothing away from Floyd, it's just letting you know how good Roy was at his best. Tyson 2003, I mean, where are we at that point in Tyson's career? Like, Tyson's definitely lost both those fights to Holyfield. And, you know, how would we feel about that fight happening, the 2003 version of this fight? Tyson would have just fought Clifford Aitken, knocked him out. He's lost to Lennox Lewis and looked fucking terrible. But I can see why Jones was a 3-1 favorite in that fight. I'm not saying I would pick Jones, but I can understand why, given how horrible Tyson looked versus Lewis. But still, Tyson had beat, you know, the Andrew Golota fight. You've seen what he did against Franz Botha. You'd think, like, how is Roy going to be able to withstand Tyson's punching power? The hand speed is there. Is he going to be able to get out of the way? Or is Roy still just so masterful, as he was against Ruiz, that he can be a matador, outbox Tyson, and maybe catch him and close the show? I mean, where, if you try to remove what we know happened after 2003 for Roy, and even Tyson, because Tyson is on his way after Aitken to the following year losing to Danny Williams, and a year after that to Kevin McBride, was about to get a massive contract, like a $50 or $60 million several fight deal, by the way, before losing to these guys. These were meant to be tune-up fights to a big contract. But where do you see – how would you feel about that fight if it was put to you, a dream fight, Tyson Jones, 2003?
I think that part of – well, part of Roy's issue is that – and it's not like I'm the first person to say this or making some, you know, profound observation, but so much of his style was dependent on his physicality and his speed, his reflexes. And while I think he was more fundamentally sound than it seems, like, he had the capability of boxing classically is what I mean. He wasn't just some fucking dumbass who could only flail about and just did it quickly. You know, he had incredible technique and knew what technique was. He just, one, was that good, but also, two, it has to be acknowledged that some of his opposition, especially at light heavyweight, was like woeful. And so, you know, you have to take that into account. But the point is that relying on reflexes like that, you know, when those go, and they're going to be some of the first things that go, especially if your legs go and when your legs go, which his did, you know, you don't have quite as much to hang back on when you're having to really push yourself to exhibit the fundamentals and box classically or whatever you want to call it. It's not the same, you know. So I think that that's partially what we had seen, but we also didn't quite know that, like you said, you know, like we weren't quite there yet. There had been rumors going around for a number of years that Roy had difficulty in the gym, had been knocked out, had been knocked down, hurt, all this type of stuff. You know, at the time it was just rumors, and I think looking back, some of those rumors might have been true. And I think that looking over his career, you could kind of see that whether it was intentional or not, there were a number of punchers at both super middleweight and at light heavyweight that he did not fight. And I don't personally think that that was a coincidence. So I think that there's that, and that obviously is going to kind of like affect my view. But and I felt like that way too. That was something that had been brought up before he had been knocked out. But that being said, without having seen it, you know, without that gift of 2020 hindsight and whatnot, we had at the time just seen Mike Tyson get pretty much embarrassed and get a beat down from Lennox Lewis without a whole lot of effort on Lewis's part. And I think that at the time we would have been able to say, all right, well, Lennox Lewis would probably beat the shit out of Roy Jones any way you slice it. I would have thought that at the time. I did think that at the time, and I feel like most people thought that at the time. And so, you know, and Lennox was, you know, kind of on the retirement verge, but not quite there yet. Some people thought he had some time. So anyway, I think there's wiggle room there for Roy. I don't think he would have won, but in terms of the perception, I think that there's definitely wiggle room with him dominating light heavyweight is, you know, subpar as it was for as long as he did. There's definitely some room to be like, well, I think that Roy can pull that off and stay away from Tyson or hit him hard enough, kind of like he did against Ruiz, where he didn't really stay away from him per se, but he let Ruiz get into just a certain range, just at the point where he could nail him with a handful of really hard shots to let Ruiz know, this isn't just some pity pat light heavyweight, and if you walk in like that, you're going to get hurt. And I think he could have done that to Tyson too, especially at the time when Tyson seemed fairly like mentally fragile. I'm not entirely sure Mike Tyson would have reacted super great to a guy like that's like 195 pounds or so, like Roy was, hitting him with a left hook and like busting his nose like in the first round or something. I don't think that Tyson would have taken that super great. On the other hand, I'm not entirely sure Roy Jones would have been able to push Mike Tyson off if Mike Tyson really decided he wanted to, like, you know, like, all right, enough of this nonsense. I'm pushing you against the ropes. So it's at least a proposition at that time. You know what I mean? Like, I could at least see that argument. Okay, I'm rambling a lot, but point is, yes, I could see the argument. Now, not so much. There's just no resistance there, and now we know it's not there. We've seen it. And we've seen it against guys who hit like way lighter than probably even now Mike Tyson. So I just can't imagine, you know, at least then there might have been an argument. Now I don't see it. But then again, like I said, this is assuming they're going to be throwing real punches, and I suppose I have to give them that I don't know if they will or not.
Yeah, I think all those points are very accurate.
I made like 5,000 of them. Sorry.
Yeah, no, but they're all very valid and I think fair. And I mean, we just go back to where we started. That is this just a silly little thing? Is this like a Harlem Globetrotters
kind of exhibition where it's just like a feel-good thing of two guys and they're going to be smiling and laughing and that kind of thing. Or, you know, Tyson did an exhibition fight where he was in such bad shape, he wore a shirt. He wore like a shirt with the sleeves cut off. Corey Sanders, I believe he fought. And it was horrible. Like, just horrible. I don't know. I think it was a pay-per-view fight. But, I mean, it was just like, no, just don't do this. Just walk away. Like, you're old. Like, I don't want to see Michael Jordan come back. Like, I don't want to watch Jordan in a senior slam dunk competition. Horrible. But this is boxing. And to see an older guy get beaten up, I don't really know what's whetting the appetite of people to watch something like this, because you're not revisiting what this fight would have been if these guys were near their prime or just athletically competent as still elite fighters. It's just, yeah, okay, it's a battle of legends, but setting up a kind of quasi Street Fighter 2 type scenario where it's just like a freak show sideshow exhibition, I don't know. I mean, I just think if it's at all serious, Roy is 5 years older than the guy I watched play basketball and walk around who couldn't run in preparation for a fight. He was fighting like 3 weeks after I was meeting him. He was in training, and all he could do for training was wear a heavy suit and shadow box for a few rounds. And he was bragging about it, but I was like, you're doing this because you physically are incapable of running. Like, you're physically incapable of walking without noticeable issues. And it's 5 years later. So you're going to get into a ring. And Roy, unlike Mike, does not look like he's 180 pounds and shredded and ripped. Roy is going to go in as a 51-year-old with, you know, not any of his skills that made him elusive. It's just going to be like a middle-aged guy facing Tyson, who is just naturally a much bigger man. Roy is not a big guy. Neither's Tyson, for that matter. But Roy in particular, it's pretty shocking when you see Roy, especially when you've seen him as a little kid, and you know, had this incredible physique and the speed and the power and all that. But Roy is, you know, 5'10", but it's a very slim build. And even though he comes from a family where most of his family members were obese, I met, you know, his mom and uncles and that kind of thing. But I just don't know what this accomplishes. I just feel weird. It has the feeling to me of like when you see these pictures of like the Trump kids going off and we're hunters, and it's like a canned African trophy hunt where the animals are domesticated and you just set up places where they're feeding and they can't see that you're stalking them and have a tripod rifle with experts and you kill them off. Like, I just don't know what this seeks to accomplish beyond, hey, 20 years ago, we wanted to watch these guys fight because it would have been kind of interesting because of their dimensions and them having different skill sets in a kind of blood sport kumite kind of way. You know, or could Bruce Lee have kicked the shit out of Muhammad Ali? Like, but now it's just two damaged old guys who are just trying to fleece their audience. But I feel like is the audience wanting this to be a feel good thing, or do we really want? Is this like bum fights? Two homeless guys for $5 are gonna beat the shit out of each other. Like, is it a similar feeling to what would engender that? To watch two brilliant athletes pushing, you know, in their 50s who are injured fighting for what we want out of it, which is just violence where we know the people who are going to get fucked up or embarrassed. I mean, I don't know. It just seems like this is just kind of an ugly thing to do.
It's like Battle of the Network Stars, except for minus the battle. Not really so much of a network, and they're like used to be stars. So it's not really like Battle of the Network Stars at all. Sorry, but no. Okay, I'm gonna go for it here. Like before we get out of here, I'm gonna go for it. All right.
Okay.
Whew. All right. Deep breath. We know that Mike Tyson, at least in the past, I don't think he's spoken on it a whole lot recently, but at least in the past, he's definitely spoken on how he's a big he's a good friend of Donald Trump. He was a fan of Donald Trump and supporter of Donald Trump, at least at one time. We got Roy Jones Jr. a little before Donald Trump gets elected, becomes a Russian citizen. Now all of a sudden we got Mike Tyson meeting up with Roy Jones. What is being exchanged in Carson, California, Bryn?
Oh, this is a great angle.
I already know. I already know.
What?
It is the fucking manuscript of Bobby Chez's autobiography.
with a 1984 Tetris 2.
Oh, we're sick.
I like that. Bobby Chez manuscript. Chappie, the real me. The real Chappie.
They've been slow playing this Chappie manuscript for years. Oh, it had nothing to do with world domination at all, ever. They were just trying to protect the integrity of Chez's manuscript.
Well, I think the big thing behind that, though, is the name of his manuscript, Getting Behind the Wheel, Six Shots to the Wind.
Oh, Off the Wagon, the Chez story. Oh, Bobby, we love you.
Never say never. Never say never.
Yeah. Last call. The chest.
How high does your IQ have to be to say, I need to call a taxi?
Yeah. Uber. Fuck.
Oh, that's a good one. That was good.
Goodness gracious.
We ended strong.
I hope that I don't even know what I hope for Tyson Jones, for real. Like I don't even know what I hope. I'm gonna have to, I don't even know what I hope for humanity at this point, dude. We got a lot of time between now and September. It feels like it's been years since the start of the coronavirus outbreak and now. So we got time, dude. We're gonna have to see what even happens with the everything before we go there. But in the meanwhile, you know, honestly, I could say either way. Regardless of what happens between now and then, assuming humans make it to then, I hope nobody gets hurt. Like, I don't want to see either of these guys get hurt, whether it's like a boxing hurt or whether it's like, you know, someone twists their ankle in the ring. I don't want to see any of that. So if it does happen, I hope that it happens in a way that is best for both and they make money. That's about as forthright I could be about it, because otherwise shit's a total shit show.
Well, and you know, like it's a step down from, I remember getting some weird play because remember when Conor McGregor was fighting Floyd Mayweather? And
of course.
And so I did a few shows with like Jeremy Schaaf at ESPN Radio. And he's like, who's going to win? Like, what's going to happen? I was like, there is more likelihood that Floyd Mayweather would die of a pulmonary embolism than losing a competitive boxing match to fucking Conor McGregor. It is the same odds as a T-ball team is facing Nolan Ryan in his prime. And you're saying, like, could they hit a home run? They have a batter's chance. Or something. No, this is not going to happen.
Now, let me ask you something, Bryn. If we're talking outside chances. Now, suppose I'm a bookie, okay? So, like, you know a little about boxing. Yeah, I mean, I heard all sorts of shit, and it was like, buddy, no.
No, and so with here, like, that's why I raised, like, the homeless guys fighting, is we're just getting to this bottom-of-the-barrel thing where it's like, where is this going to stop? The McGregor-Mayweather thing was awful, and now, like, but at least Mayweather still had some semblance of, like, he wasn't that far removed from his peak, but we're talking two guys who have been shot for like way over a decade, and they're not fighting for anything. So, I mean, like, why isn't this, instead of being a boxing match, like, why isn't it Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones as a water balloon fight? because I'd rather watch that. I'd rather watch them play paintball or something, where again, the most likely scenario is they both break their ankles, right? Like, they're not going to. It's just, this is just a bad fucking idea. This is just where it gets, you know, turn it into something that's not to do with getting hit in the face at this age, especially Roy, where yeah. Roy's, I've seen him knocked out cold enough. Like, this doesn't, I don't want to watch 51-year-old Roy take a Tyson left hook. I don't need to see that.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even really need to see, like, a 30-year-old Roy take a Tyson. No. You know, I mean, it wasn't really anything I needed. And I wasn't a massive Roy Jones fan at really any point. Like, I liked him or whatever, but I wasn't a massive fan. Didn't hate him, but, you know, there were definitely times where I was like, damn, he sure seems like a dick. Even in those times where I thought he seemed like a dick, I didn't necessarily want him to take a Tyson left hook at that time. But, look, you know, like I said earlier, regardless of what we do or what we say, they're going to do what they're going to do. So let's just hope that it's without death.
Yeah, I the only one I would really pay to see that's similar tonally to this is I would like Bobby Chez and Tyson to fight. And then all of the things I've said about Jones and him fighting, throw them out the window. I want them to go at it. I want them to go hard. And I don't care who wins. I'm just fully there supporting my sport and what it's descended to. But I definitely want to have like a Bobby Chez photograph from like Ring Magazine with the full mustache and just Mensa. And car keys, skid marks with like kids underneath the vehicle, sort of like Wizard of Oz style with the house falling on the witch.
They'll have like one of those. They'll have like one of those fish bowls ringside, so he can put his keys in the fish bowl before, so they can't. He can't leave, you know, immediately after.
Last call.
Last call.
Designated driver, Tyson Chez.
Coming to you. Coming to a theater near you. Ubering to a theater near you.
That's a good. Okay, we've alienated everybody again. Yep. Mission accomplished.
Yep, we did it. Well, Bren, dude, it's good talking to you again. I'm sure you're going to be staying safe and staying far away from Jersey in the meanwhile. But actually stay safe though, dude. And Jesus Christ. Everybody who stayed with us and doesn't hate us, you know, eternally, thanks so much for listening in. We hope that you enjoyed this Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr. discussion, as crazy as that sentence was just to say. But we really do hope you enjoyed it, and thanks for sticking with us. If you are on social media, if you're on Twitter, follow Bryn Jonathan Butler there, Brynicio, Brynicio. Follow me, Patrick Connor, at Patrick M. Connor. Also, if you're on Facebook, go to the Knuckles and Gloves Boxing Radio page and throw that a like. And then, of course, whatever podcasting app it is that you use, we're probably on it, I'm sure. Subscribe, throw us a rating, all of those good things. And just don't tell Bobby Chez all of these jokes, because at some point he's probably going to come after one or both of us.
Definitely. But I've been given a script by you. Because I would never make fun of Bobby Chez. I think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
True. True. Top-notch man. All right, Bryn. I'll talk to you later, bro.
You got it. Take care. Take care, everybody.
Oh, when you hear me holler, baby, you know you my desire.